Proverbs chapter 15 tonight, as we have a devotion centered around our memory verse for September. With your Bibles open to Proverbs 15, verse 5. Why don't we just read it all together? We'll say it one more time for the month. Proverbs 15, 5. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. Yeah. We'll say the reference, the verse followed by the reference. No, we missed that. But hopefully this month you've pondered this a little bit. I've pondered this a little bit, obviously, and it's it's a real simple verse. But like many of the verses throughout the book of Proverbs, it's just very practical, very simple, very practical, very applicable in a lot of ways. And it resides in the book of Proverbs, really, where it's kind of the Solomonic section of his wise sayings. The first nine chapters of the book of Proverbs are really a narrative, as a father would write to his son. And then after that, you have just these little kind of quippy sayings, little nuggets of wisdom and truth that Solomon here was led to record. And in the book, or in the chapter rather, chapter 15, many of these things are comparisons, contrasts. This but that. There's this but that. And maybe just to get a sense of that here, why don't we just read the first nine verses here, just so you can kind of get a flavor of where our verse here resides in its context and surrounding verses. But starting in verse 1, a familiar verse, I'm sure, to many. But a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. And a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. In the house of the righteous there is much treasure, but in the revenue of the wicked there is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fool does not do so. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. So a common teaching method is to do compare and contrast. We have an example of this, and then we have its opposite. And that's what Solomon is using here to kind of drive home a point here of being either a fool or one who is prudent. And the fact is, you and I get to choose. The choice is ours. So we have a verse here with two characters in it, the fool and the prudent. And we'll take a look at the first, I think. There we go. The fool. The fool is one who hates wisdom. There's an active hatred from a fool. He's one who chooses to walk contrary to what is wise and good. That is a fool. Again, there's an active participation here in the individual. Hates wisdom, is opposed to it, chooses to walk contrary to it in their conduct and conversation and the decisions that they make. What else do we know about this fool? Again, he despises his father's instruction. Now, despise is to reject, to just blow it off with scorn and to look at it and go, "What do you know, old man?" is really the essence here of despising his father's instruction. And the instruction here really speaks of training for living properly in the fear of the Lord. This isn't just, here's how you set the alarm clock, here's how you cook an egg, here's how you change the oil on your car. This is bigger than that. This is training for living properly in the fear of the Lord. And this fool here despises it. It says he hates it. because he's a fool. He despises, he blows it off. He wants nothing to do with being trained properly and living in the fear of the Lord. That's the fool. Now, the verse also assumes something here, that as a father, if you're a father here this evening, that you take some time to provide some instruction. And that can be a challenge. And this is a challenge to fathers, a challenge to myself, because life is busy. And there's a lot of demands. And moms, don't think you're off the hook here, but you know the Hebrew word here for fathers is ab. It literally speaks of the father figure, head of the household. So this is pinpointed right to fathers. But many things can get in the way of that. I mean, homes get busy. There's a lot of moving parts, a lot of personalities. You know, there's the sin nature of one, the other, and then all the rest of them too. And it can get exhausting to provide instruction. Oftentimes it's easier to just say, no. No, don't do that. Or, you know better. Don't do that again. And you can just kind of blow past it and move on. But to stop and to take the time and invest in someone to provide the instruction is critical. It's critical. Otherwise, you know, you think of just the example of the person up here. Life just becomes rules. Do this, don't do that. Do this. No, no, don't do that. And then the sin nature of a fool will go, all right, well, now I'll be sneaky because I don't want to hear about it. So I'll just, you know, they learn to sneak. Instead, instruction to provide training for living properly in the fear of the Lord should encourage, at least in this specific example of a father interacting with a child, should, once they've understood what Christ has done for them on the cross and put their faith in him, they're now a child of God. They are a younger brother or sister in Christ and can walk with the Lord. And the instruction should encourage them to do so. Not only so-and-so, that's wrong, but why is that wrong? Instruction would encourage them to think, why did you choose what you chose to do? How does that align with the principles and the promises of the Word of God? How does this fit up with what the Lord would have for you? Were you seeking to honor him, or were you seeking to honor himself? Those are all aspects of instruction. It goes beyond just, don't do this, but do that. No, that's wrong. Do this right. It encourages a relational component with their Savior. You would ask, how would the Lord have you to think, or to respond, or to speak, or to act in light of X, Y, and Z? What principle or promise from God's Word can we apply here? Those are all questions that godly instruction can answer. And as we'll see here, as we look at the second character here, the one who receives correction, the prudent individual, there's much benefit to that investment of instruction. The prudent. There were supposed to be some more animations here, but I guess they're not. So we'll just take it all in one big swallow. The prudent is one who is wise before the Lord in the management and the handling and the navigating of the practical affairs and the events of life. How do you navigate life rightly before the Lord? That's a prudent individual. And what characterizes the prudent individual here is he's the one who receives correction. Now, receive here could literally be translated keep. In fact, in the second chapter of Genesis, when Adam and Eve were to tend and keep the garden, that word keep in Genesis 2:15 is the same word we have here for receive. So it carries the idea of to carefully observe or follow with the objective to guard or to watch over, to keep, to take care of something, to cherish something and care for it like you cherish it. So to be a prudent individual is to one that has a soft and receptive heart here, one that would carefully and observe and follow the correction they receive. Now, correction is a reproof. It's an argument or a reasoning that would oppose something wrong. It opposes the wrong. Now, who here has ever been wrong? Several times. I managed to pull it off multiple times today myself. And we all benefit from correction. And nobody likes correction. I was interacting with a child, you know, and it was just a general hardness of heart towards correction, and it has been an ongoing thing. And they heard that, you know, the person that rejects correction, God calls them stupid. And it was just like it was earth-shattering for them. Like, oh, that's actually stupid. God would call me stupid for refusing, for not taking heed to correction? It's like, yes. And the whole outlook changed. And it was really just precious. For whatever reason, that pricked their heart, and all of a sudden, correction was something that wasn't this awful thing to forbear. It was there because, you know what, God loves you and he provides correction. He doesn't want you to go wrong. He has a good and perfect and acceptable will for your life. And part of that involves getting corrected. But this one receives it instead of opposing it. That's what makes someone prudent. When you receive godly instruction and correction, what's your response? What's my response? How many times do you hear it and you go, hmm? You ever do the what, yeah, but? You get the yeah, buts? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but. Well, yeah, but, you don't, but. And we've had the yeah, buts, many times in our house. And I've pulled them off myself. How did you respond to that person? Not very gently. That might have been a little harsh and thoughtless. Yeah, but you don't understand. No, I've got a reason. I'm justified, right? And that's the mental exercises that we go through instead of just humbly saying, I appreciate the correction there. You know what? By the grace of God, I can take heed to this and receive it in order to carefully observe and follow that. Because that would be prudent. And that's part of the process in growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he conforms you into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ, is to take and receive correction. And sometimes, and I remember especially being a younger lad and living under the authority of my parents, that there were times where the discipline seemed a little harsh. It really wasn't that bad. And had I understood perhaps more of the Word of God, maybe that would have been different, maybe not. But if you're living under the authority of your parents this evening, you think that perhaps the discipline might be a little harsh. Why don't we read verse 10? And verse 10 says, "Harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way, and he who hates correction will die." So if you happen to be the beneficiary of receiving some harsh discipline, know that it's done in love, and it's done because someone's really interested in you not forsaking the way. And to have a soft condition of heart that would receive that and respond to that before the Lord in a way that would honor him. Because really, in the end here, I think the chapter writes its own conclusion very well. Probably why, Solomon, it's evidence of a very wise man here perhaps. But if we jump to the end of the chapter in verse 15, we can read along verses 31, 32, and 33. It says, "The ear that hears the rebuke of life will abide among the wise. But he who disdains instruction despises his own soul. But he who heeds rebuke will get understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." And we see all the positives in this, and it's like, yes, I want to get understanding, and no, I don't want to despise my soul, and yes, I would like to abide among the wise. And who doesn't want some honor? Those are all great things. But it takes humility. It takes putting the pride aside and receiving the instruction here to be a prudent individual. It makes all the difference in the world. Otherwise, you're going to be a fool. You'll despise the instruction you receive. And he who disdains instruction despises his own soul. Who wants that tonight? I don't want that tonight. Nobody would raise their hand and say, this is who I want to be. But perhaps it's a good time to just, before the Lord, reflect a little bit and go, what is my heart condition before the Lord when I receive correction, when I get some instruction? Do I despise my father's instructions? Am I disdaining my own soul? How am I responding before the Lord to the correction that I lovingly receive from him? So we have the choice. Do we want to be a fool or be prudent? And it's helpful to remember too, just to tie this in with a New Testament principle, that don't be deceived because God is not mocked. God is gracious, he is patient, he is long-suffering, his mercies are new every morning. But the fact is, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Because God's not going to be made a fool of. This is true. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Do I want to be a fool and reap to the flesh and reap corruption? Or would I rather be the wise person that can sow to the Spirit and will of the Spirit reap everlasting life? In a qualitative sense here. That is the choice. That is the contrast that the Spirit of God directed Solomon to lay forth here in verse 5. And it's been good to just ponder this a little bit. One, am I a fool or am I a prudent person with a soft and receptive heart to the correction that I receive? And am I taking the time to invest in providing the instruction by the grace of God even to my children in my own home? Or are we just blowing through life and missing out on those opportunities? And the encouragement is, you know what? Faithful is he who has called us, who also will do it. This, you know, all of these things, you know, when we think about functioning practically in the world around us and navigating the issues and events of life, you know, God gives wisdom. His grace is sufficient in these things. His calling is his enabling, and thankfully we have that as a resource to draw upon us as your children here even this evening as we consider this. So with that, why don't we close with a word of prayer. Father, we are very thankful this evening. Again, just that we're privileged to be able to gather. And we just thank you for the encouraging, just the account, Father, of how you directed soft hearts, many people, Father, to come to put their faith in Jesus Christ here through the outreach at the various fairs. Even thank you for our fair here at the Itasca Fair and for just the doors of opportunity you've opened on fairs in Texas and Alaska, Montana, others. I know the Word of Grace ministered at many fairs this year as well, and for the many that came to place their faith in Christ again. You would just pray for this Monica, Father, that heard the gospel today, that she would see again that it truly isn't of works, that it's not your good outweighing your bad or being good enough, Father, but that Christ has paid the penalty for all sin and now offers eternal life as a gift, simply received through putting their trust in him alone, apart from anything else that we would have to contribute. Again, thank you even just for the truths of your word, Father, for the instruction it brings. Thank you that we can even just walk wisely before you, Father, with a humble heart, Father, even just responding to the correction that we receive in a way that honors you, that is prudent, Father. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.